Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode of the Wrestling Podcast is brought to you by Paymaya. If you're not familiar with what Paymaya is, listen up. Paymaya is a free mobile wallet app available on iOS and Android. And get this, if you download the app and use our code WWPayMaya, you'll get 50 pesos on us. In this time of social distancing, you can securely pay for your groceries, your bills, and even send money to your loved ones in a non-contact and cashless way. So remember, don't pay cash, pay Maya.
What's going on? This is Xavier Woods, aka Austin Creed.
I said, give me the hell yeah!
Hey, this is Zeta Zane.
Hey, everyone. This is Jeff Cobb.
Hello, WWE Universe in the Philippines. This is Charlotte.
Talent is not sexually transmitted.
Hey, this is TJP, the Phil-Am Flash, and you are listening to Stan, Ro, Chino, and Camos on the Wrestling Podcast.
You are listening to the longest-running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the Wrestling Podcast. Stan C, Romaran, Chino Liao, and Raf Camus all recording from home as Season 4 of the ECQ era is underway.
I'm not happy with the Season 4. Usually it's like you jump the shark in Season 4, like midway through. Like what happened with Community. Well, Community sort of just blew it up on Season 4.
Don't compare the quarantine to Community.
Oh, man, that's sacrilege. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, what the hell, Camus?
Community is destroyed. The pandemic brings distress and panic and anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah, shut up, Camus.
Wow, it's the fastest shut up, Camus, we've ever had.
If honestly. Anything, the quarantine is Pierce.
Yeah, I mean, like, for all the talk of jumping the shark, we're having police officers na hindi raw deliberately partying. What a joke.
That's opening episode. Okay, that is the opening episode.
Wait, hold up. Okay, can I just say, I didn't know what a mañanita was, and then my parents brought it up earlier, and they said, oh, remember that thing we had last week? Yeah, that was a fucking party. What are you talking about? It's not no mañanita.
What? So what is a mañanita? Did you find out what it was?
It's a party.
It's a morning. It's a party.
It's a party in the afternoon, basically. Which is still a party. It's but still a party.
Mañanita means little tomorrow. What is that? How does that relate
it's
to
a, think of it. Think of it as like a morning salubong type.
Okay. Of the birthday.
Of the birthday, essentially. Yeah, like that's where birthday salubong sort of originated from.
It's like shorter... Okay. It's like a shorter, earlier inuman, basically. Which is what my parents had.
It's so ridiculous this is the latest chapter of the quarantine saga that we all have to put up with. And the fact that we are close to 2 whole months stuck in our homes and wala pa ring mass testing. So, we're slowly running out of things to keep ourselves sane with or to keep our heads above water. I don't know about you guys, but like I'm just really running out of shit to like keep myself afloat here.
No, you always have Netflix. You always have Survivor.
You always have porn.
I guess.
If you want to put it that way.
Pero wala na yung libreng premium.
No, that ran out like a month ago.
Yeah.
So we don't have that anymore. So.
Yeah. I would like to speak to some people though, like kung sino mang decision maker
about porn.
Yes. Kung sino mang decision maker ang pwede mag-extend ng premium or someone who can give us like a premium pass for OnlyFans or some shit, like something, anything to make this easier on us mentally.
I actually checked out OnlyFans because Kehlani Lay, if you guys know who Kehlani Lay is, had a promo for OnlyFans. And apparently, OnlyFans is like a place where you can legally send dick pics. That's basically it.
Uh-huh. So you can pay. You can pay for the right to send,
or for their consent. Yeah, you're paying for their consent.
You're basically tipping them every time they ask for a dick pic, and every time they send you like a
porn.
Yeah, porn, basically. A nudie.
And how has that worked out for you so far, Mr. Connoisseur?
Are you saying that you tried doing this?
No, I did not. I did not. Because nakita ko may bayad. Sabi ko, I made an account. I linked my credit card to it and all.
You link your account. You link your bank details for porn.
Credit card kasi.
Okay.
And
fine.
Then, wala naman charge. Wala naman charge. The moment I found out na may charge was the moment I deleted my account.
So what did you think? I mean, what did you think they were gonna do with your money?
It was like an exclusive. It's like a Patreon for porn. That's what I thought. That's what
It is essentially.
Apparently, I didn't expect the whole. Oh, you can send me a dick pic. Like, oh, I don't need you judging my stuff. and having to pay for it. No way. Okay. Like that's too much, man.
You know, it's nice to know that when it comes to supporting your content creators, you went the distance and actually went for OnlyFans. Meanwhile, I signed myself up for Patreon because I supported my favorite podcaster naman in the US. You know, after listening to his content for the last 4+ years, I figured it was my time to show support and, you know, actually chip in to keep this content coming. And dito sa Philippines, we don't really have that system going on yet. Like, the on-demand content or you support your content creators is a culture that we don't necessarily have all that much of. And I really dream of the day, you know, we get to that point where we can produce enough content for people to actually pay more for more of it, you know?
I mean, there is, it has existed in some form, but just not in as easy a form as, say, for example, OnlyFans or Patreon. But it does exist out there in some way.
Or even Pornhub Premium, which is like the most basic way to apply for something.
I don't know what you're talking about, Chino.
Shut up, Kamo.
Like paying for porn. No, paying for porn is what I'm saying.
So Babyface producer Ryan is saying that Kumu actually tried it. So our friends from Kumu, they're actually doing a lot of work right now with the streamers and the influencers. I'm not sure exactly how that works, but
not for porn. Let's be clear.
Now that Ryan brings it up, see, sila Alex Calleja had a show on Kumu. Oh. Alex Calleja, Ramon Camacho, a bunch of people who perform under the Comedy Manila banner. Tried doing that on the stream. So there's a comedy stream called I Laugh Philippines or something. It's basically about comedy from the OFW perspective. And there's a stream on Kumu about that. Pero nga, sabi ni Ryan, and this is what Kumu also told them, people Filipinos aren't credit card people now. So which makes
sense. Yeah, they're definitely not. It's hard.
Which makes sense. If you have
an app like PayMaya, maybe that could be a way to support your favorite podcast or content creators. But
Definitely put PayMaya over.
It's a way. It's really a way that
it's
you can that stuff
easier
out.
Way to do this.
Yeah. Until then.
So sana.
Yeah, sorry, Ro. Go finish. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, until then, I guess we have to just keep doing what we're doing, keep plugging away. You know, hindi lang naman tayo sa wrestling podcast, but like the rest of our family at Podcast Network Asia, especially during the quarantine, we're really just trying to dig deep and produce whatever content we can put out there, whether or not mababayaran tayo for it. On the plus side, though, if you've been following PNA, there have been more new podcasts popping up, especially because people are looking for ways to let their creativity run loose. I have it on good word that a certain ANC personality is about to sign with Podcast Network Asia. So if you want to get sports fix off the record,
he's
going to be bringing that to the table on Podcast Network Asia very, very soon. On top of, you know, existing content from the OG shows like Ourselves, Cool Pals, Kudazzers, Eavesdrop, Halo Halo Show, you know, and Hustle Share, of course. We're all still bringing you that content. Anyway, we're about 8 minutes in, so I think it's high time that we actually get to what we're meant to talk about on this podcast, and that's pro wrestling. And the biggest news of the week is the fact that the man, Becky Lynch, is now the mom.
Or mom-to-be. Like, she's wala pa yung anak.
Yeah.
Nagdadalang tao
pa lang siya. But, you know, pro-life people will tell you that from the moment of conception, nanay ka na. So, sure, let's take that argument.
Okay, let's take that argument then.
Yeah.
No, fuck that. Fuck that. Although, you're a mom-to-be until the baby comes.
Oh, wait. You know, nothing against your arguments, guys, but let's just stick to wrestling here and say, according to the new shirt released by WWE Shop, she is now the mom.
Exactly. That's what I was referring to. That's why she is the mom. So, Becky's a mom.
You brought pro-life into it. Goddamn. Let's move on.
Oh, yeah. So Becky is pregnant and she's basically on the shelf for the next year.
Más o menos, yeah. You'd have to say
basically out for the next year. And she's no longer the Raw Women's Champion. It took Seth Rollins knocking her up for her to drop the title, which is really crazy. And now Asuka is not only the Raw Women's Champion, but is a Grand Slam champion in every way possible, because she's basically won every championship that you can win as a woman in WWE.
And at this point, it does have to be...
Oh, Asuka, you mean. Okay, I thought you were talking about Becky. Yeah.
Yeah, I was talking about
Asuka. Yeah, okay. Asuka. So at this point also, that we have to be absolutely clear for our listeners that Asuka is no longer the women's, you know, in effect, she has cashed in successfully, diba?
No, it doesn't work that way, because on Raw, Becky actually explained that none of the women's Money in the Bank participants knew what they were competing for. So when Becky came out with Asuka's briefcase and opened it, nasa lubing championship.
So par.
Yeah, so no, so essentially, wala na yung briefcase. Briefcase is out of play.
Essentially, it was like the Goblet of Fire. They didn't know the goblet was a port key. It just happened to be the goblet, right? So it's essentially that.
Yeah, they didn't know they were competing for the
championship. It was never going to be a port key in the first place.
Oh my! If Voldemort didn't get involved, there was supposed to be no port key.
Oh my God! We're jumping into Harry Potter.
Yes, we are.
If Seth didn't knock Becky up, the briefcase would have held a contract instead of the title.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's why Seth is Voldemort, right?
Okay, so I think.
Well, okay, that makes sense.
Wait. I think that was the key in the whole thing. Because when I first heard the news that Asuka was a champion and Becky was vacating it, I thought that there was a cash in that I missed. You know, she vacated it, so parang Asuka might have cashed in to win the vacant championship. So apparently, you open it to find the championship inside.
Yes.
And that kind of bridges together my thinking of why didn't they just have whoever won Money in the Bank, the women's Money in the Bank, be champion instead of, you know, instead of what they did na may briefcase pang naganap. So, buti lang they did that. Kasi I really was wondering why didn't they just adjust if they found out that Becky was pregnant around WrestleMania time.
Feeling they also just wanted to keep the Money in the Bank motif alive. Na yeah, you know, you're all gonna be duking it out for the briefcase and all that. So sa akin okay lang. Like, I'm actually happy with how it all went down. Obviously, I'm happy na Becky's gonna be a mom, and that I'm actually happy that she won't be wrestling for the next year, because that means that she gets to be away from the pandemic.
Ako, so jumping off of Rose point lang, I really feel like that belt should have gone to Shayna during WrestleMania. Like, if this is where things were going to end up anyway, then why keep the belt on Becky, diba? Why does she need to relinquish the title just to announce that she's a mom? I think
the only way it made sense was that they taped WrestleMania in March, like the last week of March, I believe.
Yes,
right. Week
of March.
Yes,
so if they said they found out around WrestleMania time, they taped the ending, they taped the Women's Championship match before they found out. And then they taped the Money in the Bank ladder match after they found out. Either way, I still think Shayna should have won.
Yeah, exactly. I'm on you with that.
Yeah.
I guess that part explains it.
Yeah, I remember that Vince was quoted in an interview saying that he wanted more happy endings for the WrestleMania matches kasi nga may pandemic. So obviously, hindi nga nila alam yung buong situation, di ba?
You know what a happy ending for the pandemic would have been? Not to have WrestleMania in the first place.
Yes. That's what clearly.
That would have been the best one. Clearly.
Yeah, clearly. But makulit si Vince, but he wanted to push through with WrestleMania and he wanted every match to end mostly with a babyface on top. Hanggat kaya. And we saw that with the Becky Shayna match. Now, I'm with Ro here. Kung ganun lang din, I wish Shayna would have won it. But when I was watching Money in the Bank and not having all the information then, I saw Asuka winning as a swerve. And it was the good kind of swerve. Parang, oh, nice. May legitimacy na ulit si Asuka. And they kind of defanged her a bit after she and Kairi dropped yung Women's Tag Team Championships. But now, na-established na ulit na, yeah, Asuka is the shit, you know?
Yeah, ako kasi, I've always seen the women's tag team titles on the Kabuki Warriors as a consolation to Asuka because on her own, she's already a badass. And now she has to share some of that with another Japanese wrestler who can't seem to get over on by herself. So, parang sa akin, they needed to split that aggression between the both of them. And it lessened Asuka's aggression a bit for me. Now, that being said, now that she's won Money in the Bank and now that she is Raw Women's Champion, yun nga, tumaas na ulit yung value niya sa akin, yung legitimacy niya sa akin.
I didn't think na they were defanged. I think in general, the whole thing, the whole company is just shooting off the hip and they're just doing more of what they want to do there. If they are showing more of themselves, their own personalities, they're doing definitely that because no one really knows what's certain in this pandemic. So, yeah, as was rumored a few weeks ago, even Vince is on fuck it mode and, you know, doing whatever he wants. That's why this whole thing, this whole Money in the Bank ladder match filmed inside Titan Towers was, you know, it went down that way. So I didn't take anyone too seriously because it seemed like they didn't want to be taken too seriously anyway. And I can't really blame them for that. Because, again, as we've mentioned before, it's not a normal time.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, go.
No, I was going to say na if anything, talagang na-emphasize yung absurdity of wrestling as a whole with that Money in the Bank match.
Yes, can we jump into the match itself?
Yeah, let's go.
I like how first of all they're again using what they have at their disposal. You know, they realized that without an audience they can actually do more cinematic things and they were able to pull it off for the Money in the Bank match. And I also like how there were just so many funny spots, especially with guys like AJ Styles, who's like the serious wrestler.
That spot with Daniel Bryan was so good.
And in Vince's office.
Yeah, in Vince's office.
that made me laugh so hard. Ang ganda eh. I remember, di ba, a few Raws ago, Byron Saxton would bring up the fact that there's a T-Rex inside Titan Tower and he's never been inside. And then when you cut to Vince's office, there's the skull of the T-Rex right there. So it got super meta for me for a moment. And
it can be, but it's more set up than it is meta. Na parang they really Chekhov's gunned it more than it's meta.
Ni lang yon. I mean, I think if you listen to mga podcasts like ENC's podcast or Jericho's podcast, they've said over the years that Vince's office is really really weird. Like there's a dinosaur skeleton and all that. So if you've been listening to all that. And then you see that for yourself dun sa Daniel Bryan AJ scene na yon. It's pretty funny.
It's real. Yeah, it's freaking real.
It was just holy shit. There really is a dinosaur skeleton right there. So parang nakakatawa lang.
We've seen that before in the ENC show.
Yeah, we did. They were spoofing Vince and Shane.
Yeah, when Vince actually froze for the skit.
Right. See, okay, here's my question. Like, I get that WWE is doubling down on using every resource they have at their disposal. But my question is it all worth it? Like, is it worth it to destroy the mirrors and the gym equipment all for this one stupid match?
Because they're remodeling, they're selling the building.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I thought then. Because there was news that they were gonna move to a different office building.
Oh, so I didn't know that.
That's
okay,
been postponed now.
That's why.
That's why they actually, as part of the reason why they did the mass layoffs last month.
I mean, okay, go ahead, Ro. Sorry.
No. I thought that they were just, you know, trashing the building because they were gonna plan to move out anyway. But yeah. I think, yeah, sorry, go, Gina. Go ahead.
No, kasi feeling ko kasi Vince being Vince, he was like, if you're gonna do demo, you might as well get that on camera. So work with what you have and all that. So that's why there was wanton destruction all throughout.
Yeah, so I mean, like, it's not like they had much to lose anyway. So if they really wanted to do all of that stuff they did in the WWE headquarters, then go for it. I mean, people were entertained. You were entertained, I think.
Yeah, I liked it.
It was a fun match to watch. Yeah.
Nakakatawa lang yung start for me. I find the start really off because the guys, when they entered, had time to trash talk, but the ladies just stood there. So parang, why couldn't the ladies trash talk too, diba? I would have wanted to see words exchanged.
No, they were kind of talking trash pa rin. Like, see, Carmella or Dana Brooke, one of them was like waving her hand in front of the other competitors. And, you know, they were all waiting for Asuka to like come in. And then, in pala nasa taas na siya, just waiting to like jump on all of them.
Yeah, but like the moment for the men just stood out so much more, though.
So, okay. Since we're talking about the men and the women, I want to talk
about...
Sure.
Wait, one more thing.
Oh, sige.
One more thing. I wasn't sure lang if it was a good thing to not have commentary on this match because
it was a great thing. I like that.
They didn't know. No, because it was strange because I felt like they needed a commentary team. Because if you were going to have Michael Cole come in at the end and in the beginning as well, you might as well have put him in the whole match.
I would have rather not have commentary at all than have commentary at the end. For consistency's sake and for production's sake. Because it sounds off when suddenly somebody starts talking like it was a wrestling match. I mean, it is, for all intents and purposes, a wrestling match. Pero you took us out of that element already by treating it in the way it was treated. It was treated like a short film. It was treated like a mini episode of this entire series of matches. And then all of a sudden, they're breaking that facade. So for me, I felt a little taken aback.
What's even worse, I think, was that when Michael Cole came in at the end, he didn't even sound excited or at least even acknowledging the fact that what we just saw for the past 30 minutes was absurd as fuck. So parang he just came in, said who won matter-of-factly, and then ducked out. It was so strange because it wasn't consistent at all. Like, okay, if you were going to have it play off like Here Comes the Pain match with random rock music playing in the background, sana ganun na lang siya all the entire time.
Okay, so I'm going to be presenting a different point of view here kasi I actually like na walang commentary kasi nga ang absurd niya, ta sobrang nakakagago siya na, oh, you know, they're beating themselves up and having a food fight. Oh, there's Paul Heyman. Oh, Brother Love is right there. Oh, it's reminding you AJ of The Undertaker. Like, there were certain story beats that didn't need explaining. Like, these were moments that could have breathed on their own and they did. And parang, in terms of presentation, gets ko naman yung sinasabi nyo na for continuity or for yung logic of treating wrestling pa rin as a sport and whatnot, I get it. But like, yung moment na lalabas si Brother Love, puta nakakatawa yun on its own without Byron having to say, that's Brother Love! You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, okay, there's enough absurdity in this match, like just all over the place. But at the end of the day kasi, you allow yourself to view it unobstructed by the commentary. And at the end of the day, it's like, if you get it, you get it. And for most of us who are still watching, we get it. But if you don't, like, if there's no one there to provide context, it might just fly over your head.
Yan lang yung sayang.
Yeah, ako, I'm with you guys. I rather not have commentary at all. My only point was, if you're going to add commentary, why just add it to the end? Why not make it the whole thing?
Yeah, same gripe. To get to Rose's point earlier about Michael Cole sounding not excited at all, I have a very strong feeling na recorded lang yun. Like, he wasn't even watching the match. Na
binigyan na that was canned.
Oh, nabinigyan na script na, oh, ito yung mananalo, announce mo na lang, tapos sign off ka.
For sure that was definitely recorded. It was impossible for them to shoot something like that live. Kasi none of these guys, first of all, none of them are trained actors. And I don't know how many acting classes you have to take to be able to do those vignette cuts that they did during the match, wherein, you know, Dana Brooke ended up with a frame through her and all that. So feeling ko talaga this was already pre-taped, even though they did say the pay-per-view was broadcasting live from the Performance Center.
I mean, pwede naman partially live.
Yeah, yes, the first few matches could have been live, you know. All the matches before the Money in the Bank match could definitely have been live. But I'm saying this one match, this Money in the Bank match, sobrang imposible.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the men and the women, the point earlier that I was trying to bring up. And they did tease na with the men and women fighting for the same things at the same time, it's possible that they would interact. And I appreciated that they interact sila. I actually appreciated that Shayna got her hands on, I believe it was Aleister Black or Rey Mysterio, one of them.
Rey Mysterio, yeah. She choked Rey Mysterio out, which is good. I like that.
Si Otis, may ginombag din sila, di ba?
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
I actually wish there were more of it. I would have wanted to see Shayna and Nia going apeshit on more guys. Or like Asuka going apeshit on Baron Corbin.
But to be honest, this is like the closest we're going to get to actual intergender wrestling somehow.
Can we go back to Asuka and Baron Corbin for a bit? Because this to me is the stupidest thing out of the whole match. So Asuka is making her way to the top of the ladder, and of all people in this match, Baron Corbin, who isn't even in the same division, tries to stop her. Like, why? All he had to do was wait for Asuka to get her briefcase, and then he could have gotten his briefcase. It's so stupid.
There's no conflict of interest.
Yeah, I don't know why he had to fucking stop Asuka. Why he had to climb the ladder at the same time.
I agree with that. It's not like she was going to stop you from getting your briefcase. Diba?
Yeah, diba? They're not even in the same division. They're not fighting for the same thing. So why?
Yeah, there were clearly some story beats that needed a little bit more logic. Gusto ko rin malaman yung towards the end. Like, I don't understand kung bakit si Shayna didn't even make it to the roof. For both the men's and women's side, I think apat lang max from either division yung nakaabot sa roof. And ano yun, para ba siyang yung zodiac sign sa Chinese mythology na yung first X lang yung makakaabot sa taas? Kasi yun yung mythology, eh, diba? The reason why there are 12 animals is because there was a race and only the first 12 animals could get a year named after them. So in this case, what? Was Shayna too slow? Di siya umabot sa roof? So naubusan siya ng spot sa roof?
Feeling ko, and I think this is the script thing, and this is a logistics thing, when they wrote out the story for this, the outline for this match, they realized that they can only get so many people onto the roof deck. Right? You saw how the roof deck was cut off at a certain angle, diba? When they made it look like Rey Mysterio and Aleister Black.
Yo, can we talk about that?
We'll get to that part. What I'm saying is that there's a reason why they cut off the ring at certain angles. Maybe it's a safety issue, or maybe it's the fact that they wanted to make things look smaller and compact. But I feel like it's because you can only get so many people onto that stage na kaya hindi sila kasama lahat. Now, why those four people? Who knows? Maybe it's a Vince decision, or maybe it was Booking's decision to not put Shayna on there. Pero feeling ko talaga it's a logistics thing. When you shoot these things, hindi pwedeng lahat kasi.
Alright, let's talk about what Calmus wanted to address, which was Rey Mysterio and Aleister Black getting thrown off the roof. So,
when I and when, coming back the next day on Raw.
Lang, yeah. So when I watched it, and I know I knew to expect this because they were setting it up in commentary, but during the build up.
Yeah, they were.
And then Corbin actually throws Mysterio and then Aleister off the top. Napamura ako in real time. I was watching, like, uy, putang ina. Like, what the fuck just happened, right? And you know, the next day, the absurdity of them showing up na parang wala lang. Like, what the fuck?
No, right. That, first of all, that's dumb because, first of all, it's so obvious na they were not thrown all the way off the roof.
That there was a secondary roof because that's murder.
Yeah, not only is it murder, but there is a second, there was a larger area beyond the roof.
Yeah.
And you can see in the drone shots and the crane, the helicopter shots, now the roof was a big area. And then second of all, when they got thrown off, you heard the thud sound right away.
There wasn't no delay of,
which tells you that there wasn't a long fall. So I knew right away that they didn't really get thrown all the way off the roof. So I don't understand why everyone is joking about it when you could clearly make sense of it. Now they were not; they were just thrown to a second area below.
I guess it was just the absurdity of throwing someone off the roof. Like it's stupid. Yeah. It's funny.
Remember how a few SmackDowns ago, see Baron Corbin pushed Elias off of that podium they did the promos from,
Elias took
more time off from that than Rey Mysterio did from falling off the side of a building.
That's one of the things I wanted to say. There were no repercussions from being thrown off from that height at all.
Yeah. My thing is, if you can trash WWE for leaps of logic all you want, but when it's clear that this wasn't as illogical or as absurd as it seemed, you can't really fault them for having Rey and Aleister Black show up the next night.
True. Fair point.
When I heard about the spot, the show was finished after I woke up. Before I woke up. When I heard about the spot, I knew I had to check it out. And then when I saw it, it was pretty plain that they weren't murdered for real.
I guess it's just funny because yung leap in logic, so to speak, it was a larger leap for WWE than it would have been for something like Lucha Underground. And Lucha Underground really doubled down on these logical leaps.
Yeah.
So, parang for WWE to do what Lucha Underground did and then outdo Lucha Underground, parang, teka, what am I watching here? You know what I mean? Like, yun yung sentiment eh.
I actually wouldn't put it past WWE now to even take a Lucha Underground spin to this whole thing, diba? Like, maybe they might start doing more cinematic shit on Raw and SmackDown. Who's to stop them?
No one's really gonna stop them at this point. But the thing is, I don't actually see a problem with that. But my thing, no, the problem that I sort of have with this is that if this is the only way you're gonna separate yourself from like a pay-per-view caliber thing, or regular Raw, or SmackDown, or NXT, then by all means, it's amusing. But I'm not all for it. Like I'd rather have it as like, you have one of these matches every couple of weeks, or you have something so that you know it's a special attraction. But don't save it for just Donna. It doesn't have to be saved for pay-per-views alone.
All right. Any other thoughts on...
I would save it for pay-per-views because even though it's fun to watch every week even, especially if the production quality is good, it could still get pretty old, especially if you have to keep churning them out every week, which is going to be a slog, even if you tape way in advance.
I don't necessarily mean like it's a full match, like just a more cinematic approach as part of your core product is what I mean.
Yeah, I'm with Camus on this one.
Like it doesn't have to be 45 minutes. Like if you give us a 10-minuter.
Yeah, first of all, nothing has to be 45 minutes, not in the WWE. Second of all, if you're willing to do this in a pay-per-view, why not carry over the same quality to Raw and SmackDown? It's like the next logical step for me.
What I would keep, I think, is I would make it like Lucha Underground and have the segments be cinematic instead of the matches.
That works. That works too. Yeah.
I think it's a fair compromise.
That's absolutely fair.
Yeah, that's a fair compromise. That actually makes sense, especially since doing promo, especially since now during this quarantine COVID-19 period, a lot of wrestlers still have difficulty talking to a camera. You know, it's not a lot of people's go-tos or strengths. So by making promos more cinematic, it might actually help them narrative a lot more.
Yeah.
All right.
You want to talk about Otis and how just plain crazy it was the way he won. So they established first that he was too heavy to even get on the ladder. So this guy is not going to win. And then he didn't even need to get on the ladder to actually get the briefcase, which I thought was hilarious.
First of all, they're saying that Otis is too heavy for the ladder, correct?
Exactly, yeah.
But just a few years ago, Braun Strowman won the Money in the Bank briefcase, and he was able to climb a ladder. So are we supposed to believe that Braun Strowman is lighter than Otis?
Oh, and you remember the year Big Show was in the Money in the Bank match? They made a reinforced ladder just for him. So if that
why couldn't they do it for Otis?
If that was a narrative they were going to go with, but hindi lang siya bigyan ng reinforced ladder din.
Okay, can we just say that it's a nice feel good win? Like, can we all agree on that?
Regardless of the outcome, it's
a feel good moment.
But at the same time, are you willing to see Otis cash in and become WWE champion? Like, is that something you can stand behind?
I don't have strong feelings about it. Like, okay, it's a thing. To me, it's a thing that happened because obviously they're cashing in on the overnight, I wouldn't say overnight, but the hard-earned organic popularity that Otis got after the whole Mandy, Dolph Ziggler, Sonya Deville angle. So, okay, good. That's actually a smart business move for SmackDown, sure. Are they gonna lead to Otis winning a world championship? I don't think so, especially now that we've established that.
I mean,
Money in the Bank winners have gone and lost, right?
But also, I mean, do you put it past them at this point?
I don't know. I think obviously everyone is gonna expect him to be the guy who cashes it in and doesn't win the championship. After what? Damien Sandow and Baron Corbin.
John Cena.
So, yeah, well, John Cena was an anomaly there because you would expect him to be a world champion because he already was a world champion by the time he won Money in the Bank.
He was an established, he was a made man.
So, I don't know. I have no strong feelings about this.
I feel like Otis is going to lose this briefcase to somebody. Like, remember how you talked about Cena, right? Cena and Orton fought over a briefcase like in the early 2000s, maybe 2010s.
Yeah, Edge got it from Mr. Kennedy.
Right, exactly. Mr. So Kennedy, if you think Otis is going to lose this briefcase to somebody, a true contender, and he isn't going to cash it in. Maybe so AJ Styles.
I actually hope that they take it all the way to the title match and then just make him more by having him lose instead of, you know, having him drop the briefcase to someone else.
Yeah, it's basically what they did for Jeff Hardy in the early 2000s when they had him go up against Undertaker, who was champion at the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Or yung kay Rey Mysterio. Right. Okay.
Yeah. Sino bang champion again? It's Braun, diba? And I don't see the Braun Bray feud ending anytime soon. And kahit si Braun pa yan, Braun is such a dick na people can get behind Otis so easily. So even if Otis loses to Braun, as long as you let Otis look credible in the match and in the build-up, then he'll come away a bigger star than he was heading into it.
Yeah, okay. So let's go to the title match for a bit. So Braun and Bray Wyatt go at each other. And I always thought it was a Fiend versus Braun match, pero hindi pala. And at the end of the match, after Bray lost, we got a glimpse of the Fiend. So maybe the Fiend gets the title. And if that's the case, is Otis going to look strong against the Fiend? Is that a thing?
That's a possibility. Or the Fiend takes the briefcase.
Or pointed in. And actually, yeah, the Fiend takes the... No, you know what? I actually like what Kama suggested. I'm agreeing with Kama a lot in this episode. We are in weird time. Anyway, I like that.
It's not that weird. I have good points sometimes.
Yeah, I really do.
It's the new normal.
Yeah. It's the darkest timeline.
Camus has logged out of chat.
And yeah. I can totally see that. If Bray wants back into the title picture, he might use the Fiend to get that briefcase from Otis. That makes total sense.
Yeah, I think the darkest timeline shit makes way more sense, in the sense that there were like 5 or 6 presidential candidates, and the one that we all voted for led us to this version of hell. So yeah, darkest timeline. Totally.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
I'm wondering why Bray didn't feel the need to bring the Fiend out against Braun Strowman.
I know Braun. I know his ins and outs. Bata ako to dati. I don't need to tap into the Fiend to get to the title.
It's the same argument people used on Finn Balor when he didn't become the Demon and he faced Brock Lesnar. Like, you would think you'd bring the Demon out, who is undefeated still, against Brock Lesnar, but he didn't. He became Finn, and knowingly he lost.
Is this the problem with yung alter egos? Like, especially an alter ego that's like the level 9000 equivalent of the normal character. Because you already have Finn and the Demon, then now Bray and the Fiend. So that's 2 examples already na yung imba version niya, hindi laging nilalabas when they need it the most.
Yes, it's inconsistent. It's all over the place. The creative needs to decide better on when to bring out these alter egos, because sometimes they bring them out and it makes the most illogical sense ever. Kasi pag nilalabas mo siya against a random person and you don't bring him out when a title match is concerned, why do that, diba? Why not be the best version of yourself against for the championship, diba? Why just pick a random blood feud?
Best version of yourself, Kajan.
So it's a problem for sure, but I think it's a problem that's easily solved just by having people explain why they choose to bring out the alter egos at which points, or why not, diba? You just have to do a little more hard work explaining that concept.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, who else? The only other person who has an alter ego right now is R-Truth. Like, actively. And that's barely even skimming it.
Any alter ego ni R-Truth?
His cousin.
Weird, and it's hard to explain.
Oh,
but
right. Okay.
He got squashed by Bobby Lashley. Yeah. And it was funny.
Okay.
Yan lang. It's just, there's stuff. There's stuff out there. But then, at the end of the day, kasi, it's like, when it comes to Bray Wyatt / The Fiend, it's getting weird. It's apparent we're reaching that territory where we've had enough of both, and we've seen a lot of both, to tell us na, okay, you should be using this in big match situations, unless, of course, they want to stretch out the feud, which it looks like they want to do. Diba?
I guess.
Okay, are we ready to move on to our last item for this week?
Yeah.
All right. So our next and last item for this week's episode is about one Sami Zayn getting stripped of the Intercontinental Championship. So, Bro, what do we know about this?
We just know that he stayed home because he didn't want to risk getting infected. He took a stand like Roman did. So I guess they're kind of wanting to move forward on this, on the Intercontinental Championship, by stripping it and, writing another
moving
story
forward
around it.
Yeah. Can I just say that most of the people who are staying home, and this is also the case in Sami, it's like they have families to look out for. Like, they have spouses or kids that they cannot stay away from, and they're electing to just say, okay, what's in the best interest of my family? Let's do this, diba? And being the principled man that he is, it's par for the course for him.
Yeah, so I don't know what to feel about this. Like, on one hand, I get it. I get why Sami stayed home, right? It makes all the sense in the world, because like, I actually share sentiments na if you're not certain about the handling or mishandling of the pandemic, then stay at home. Do your part to help flatten the curve. I just think that it's really petty of WWE to keep doing this, like, you know, whitewashing Roman Reigns out of history or recent history, and then now stripping Sami Zayn. Eh, kasalanan niyo yun eh. You kept Sami as your champion, and you know you gave them the choice, diba? And they took that choice. So is it really their fault that
I think no. Unlike Roman, I think Sami knew naman that there was a chance that he could be stripped of the championship if he didn't come to work. I say he's a champion, not like Roman who wasn't a champion. And Roman, I'm sure, wasn't expecting that he was going to be whitewashed out of recent history. So I wouldn't pin any blame, any real blame on WWE's handling of Sami's run. It's just something that they had to do, because at first, Sami was on board with still wrestling through the lockdown, right? And then it was only until recently that he did not choose to do so.
After Mania.
Yeah, basically after Mania.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, so
what, I think what happened... Go, Ro.
No, go ahead.
You good? Okay. Because like it looked as though that, you know, when they gave him the championship, okay, he takes some time off and then assess the situation, come back. But it's not on the level of Roman where, you know, he's whitewashed to the effect. And at the same time, both guys they seem like people who have a lot more going on with their lives apart from wrestling. Like, they have other things to cling on to. So for them, it's a matter of priorities. The ones who need the TV time, who want the TV time, who want to play this game, are the ones who are still in Florida. And the ones who are at home, well, you know, if you haven't noticed, what's his name? Kalisto hasn't been on TV for a while, but you have Lucha House Party in matches.
Yeah, the other two guys.
Huh? Yeah, you have the other two guys there. It's not an exclusive thing, and yet they can still mention him on commentary, diba? There are instances where it's just people can't be bothered for the wrestling aspect of their lives anymore.
I guess in sa akin lang is the Intercontinental Championship has been so mishandled in the last however many number of years. I guess since Dolph and The Miz legitimized it ulit, after that they basically dropped the ball on the IC title. Na it's pretty meaningless. So like, why strip it off of someone? You know,
who just won it?
Yeah, who just won it? Why not just wait for the situation to blow over, wait for Sami to come back, then have him drop it when he comes back?
Write it into a storyline. There is... I mean, the storyline, the pre-existing storyline was already there.
No, now there's a storyline.
Yeah, no, there was the storyline of it prior na, diba, na he's untouchable, and then now, literally, no one can touch him.
My theory is that because they're already doing exactly this NXT Cruiserweight Championship, they didn't want to double up on another championship. So it probably was easier to rip the Band-Aid off and just vacate it and give it to someone else.
Yeah, but now they're doing a tournament, right?
Are they?
Yes, they are.
Is that confirmed?
Yes, they are.
They're doing a tournament for the vacant IC title, which leads me to my point. Now, sana they do the same thing they're doing with the Cruiserweight title. If they want to make a new IC title, why not carry over the round robin tournament style to the main shows?
All right. Yeah, they could.
Yeah, diba? It's like unless it's they do content for days.
Unless they do a single elimination tournament, but then
no. What they're gonna do with this tournament is it's gonna be an excuse to bring Raw and SmackDown together. Because it was already established on Raw, and there's like this invitational or whatever the fuck gimmick. Na Raw guys will be going to SmackDown, so that's why Drew McIntyre is facing King Corbin for the WWE Championship next week, even though they're supposed to be on different brands. So in a way, the pandemic kind of killed the brand split again.
Again, fuck. Let's fuck this.
Yeah. So last year it was the wild card rule. Ngayon naman it's the invitational.
The pandemic rule.
Yeah, the pandemic invitation.
Whatever.
Sobrang stupid.
Pandemic classic.
Yeah.
The COVID classic.
Yeah.
COVID. Anyway, no. I hope it ends. I mean, I hope the brand split, you know, comes back.
I hope they just make up their mind on what they want to do. I was before we went on this call, I was watching Ruthless Aggression for the first time
okay
on the network.
Okay.
And
I was watching it, and then I was hearing all these guys, Michael Hayes and all these guys, talk about how there were literally so many people at the time, until now then, I guess, so many people, so many superstars in the WWE that it necessitated a second show just so a lot of them could get on TV, diba? So that being said, it made me think, if the brand split disappears, is that going to mean that a lot of our favorite wrestlers aren't going to end up on TV? Because there are
That's what happened in the early 2010s.
Diba? Kaya, there's nothing to differentiate both shows now because everybody is literally on both shows. So parang sayang lang naman na there was this delineation between the two brands. And then it's there, and then it's gone, and then it's there, and then they just don't know what to do.
But now it's just like, everyone's just under one roof anyway. They're taping some of these things, no one can tell, there's no audience, there's no live revenue, so might as well, no?
Might as well, yeah, yes. I guess. Again, yes, it goes back to them using the resources that are on hand, but then at the same time, us as fans really don't know what to make of it.
Yeah, I guess it would be better served by a reset na rin. Soft reset for the COVID era.
Yeah, nagbago na rin yung roster nila.
If they're committed to doing that, if they're willing to commit.
Yeah, nagbago na rin yung roster nila. Like, they absorbed so much NXT talent. Like, they called up Shane Thorne and Brendan Vink for good.
The Iconics are now on Raw. Roster.
No, the Iconics were on Raw even before they got taken out.
Hindi ba sila SmackDown? Okay, I always thought they were SmackDown.
Yeah, they moved to Raw after WrestleMania noong 2019.
I think the brand split. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, no, the draft, last year's draft.
Yeah, that's what I said. Like,
oh,
right after.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So no, draft near October, not the post-WrestleMania.
Oh, well, something like that.
Yeah.
It's not one of the drafts.
Yeah. Anything else you guys want to talk about before we get to our picks of the week?
NXT's been fun.
NXT's been super fun, yeah. As per the episode last week, NXT was super fun.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I liked the Karrion Kross debut. I thought it was pretty cool. But like everything else, aside from yung cruiserweight matches, I just skipped through it. Even Adam Cole versus Dream, I just skipped through it.
Okay,
like,
can we talk about the joy?
No, I've just stopped finding joy in wrestling without a crowd. So like, unless it's something I really have to watch, like Karrion Kross debut, I just skipped through it. That's me right now.
Okay, I want to talk
real quick note. Sorry, Gina. Real quick note about wrestling without a crowd. So it's been rumored that the reason why the NXT announcers have been so noisy calling the matches because they're the ones filling in for the silence of the lack of a crowd. So good on them at least for trying to make it.
Actually, now that you bring it up, I'll just add on to that. Napansin ko din yan. And even on Raw, even during Money in the Bank, you hear Michael Cole talk more often now because if he shuts up, you won't hear anything. It's ambient
There's
noise,
nothing.
Diba?
Yeah.
So it actually, ako, it helps. Eh. It helps maintain the mystique of wrestling. Speaking of mystique, I actually also caught the Karrion Kross debut. I wanna ask you guys about the entrance that they did, Sha and C Scarlett, which was again super cinematic. Scarlett walks out lip syncing to this song. Whether or not she actually sings the song, I don't know. But she walks out lip syncing to the song, and it's like this whole beautiful 5-10 minute entrance. Na mas mahaba pa dun sa actual match. So I wonder how that actually translates into like when things go back to normal. Are they going to keep doing the same entrance and take all that time away from the actual match?
I think so.
Remember Baron Corbin's NXT run? That was what they were doing with him the entire time.
They were
doing the whole long entrance with the spotlight and everything. That was everyone. He just ends the match with a quick end of days.
Right.
So it may precedent siya, is what I'm saying.
Because like from what I'm seeing, they took special angles. They gave.
Yeah, there's always, especially when you're introducing a new character, NXT always takes the time to package you, make it look real, real nice, and all that shit.
That's a fair point.
Like, it's one of the ways that you can tell that they care about you as a character because if you have a great entrance, and look at like everyone who's been called up from NXT that got to retain their NXT, you know, their NXT entrances, there's so much attention paid to this, to the music, to the entrance, to the lights, and all of that. So in the case of Cross and Scarlett, there's a lot of good that's ready to be done.
Yeah, there. Especially with Cross and Scarlett, because there are rumors from the dirt sheets that he's being
that they're married.
No, they're being fast tracked through. Well, maybe that, sure, but they're being fast tracked through NXT, just so they can call him up to the main roster faster. And if that's the case, good for them.
All right. Okay, here's one last thing I want to get into. Since nabanggit niyo yung NXT commentators just being noisy on their own to make up for the lack of a crowd, I would like to see WWE take a page out of DDT's playbook, where they have people from home watching and reacting, and that gets incorporated into the show. Like, I don't know how WWE is going to do that. That's their problem if they ever want to do it. Pero it's such a novel idea, and it kind of brings back yung fun of having people reacting to the wrestling in real time.
My problem with that is it only works for the fans. It works for the fans watching at home and on the Zoom call. But for the wrestlers who also need to take their cues from fan reactions, they don't hear that. Because they're the ones on the Zoom. I mean, I don't think they can hear the Zoom call unless they find a way to have the audio of the Zoom call with everyone else watching on the loudspeakers.
I'm trying to picture out how that's going to work inside the performance center. Are they going to broadcast a Zoom call on the Titantron? Is that the thing that they're going to do now?
Fuck, I don't know, man. I mean, I'm just trying to find some way for fans to interact with wrestlers again and to bring you the fun back into watching wrestling. So it's WWE's problem, not mine.
It's
all of our problems.
Yeah, it's all of our problems. It's not just WWE's problem. We still have to consume this shit.
Yeah. I mean, you have the option not to.
Yeah, which is why I'm just, you know, skipping ahead through yung mga matches that I don't care about. Like, Xia Li and whoever the fuck she faced on NXT. Like, I just don't care.
Wasn't it Chelsea Green?
Chelsea
Green, right?
Yeah, I guess. Again, I don't care.
All right. Okay, we get it, Stan. Let's
get to our picks of the week. I'm gonna start with the Street Profits and the Viking Raiders having a 2-on-2 basketball segment. Sobrang nakakatawa siya. Even down to the end where na-reveal na na si Ivar / Hanson, eh, sobrang imba pala sa basketball.
Man, it is a good segment, but it's just so ridiculous.
Which is what made it great. Na they just doubled down on it. Again, with the absurdity. Kind of like yung Money in the Bank as a cinematic match. They just doubled down on it. It was great.
Okay. My pick of the week is Io Shirai versus Charlotte. I really enjoyed this one just because, you know, I enjoy both wrestlers. I enjoy their work, and the chemistry there was pretty good for me. Like, I would like to see that become like a mainline story feud down the line, but well, let's see where it goes, diba? Because my Rhea Ripley involvement, eh?
Yeah, Rhea Ripley got involved, so I think it's going to be a three-way feud moving forward.
But I still like the idea of Io Shirai being given that time in the main event scene that she so sorely deserves.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, go.
All right. I'll go and pick Kushida versus Jake Atlas for the Cruiserweight tournament. I think it's Group A or Group B. I think it's going to look like the two Japanese guys going at it for the BOSJ finals. Because Akira Tozawa's been on a roll. I think he's 3-0 by now.
Right. I am.
That is something I didn't expect.
No, sorry, wala pang 3-0, pero may mga undefeated pa rin, like Tozawa. That's right.
Tozawa is undefeated. Yeah. Yes, correct. I am going to pick The Last Ride on the WWE Network. It is the WWE's answer to Netflix's Last Dance. It's about The Undertaker.
Ooh.
You know, kasi,
it's both last day.
It's both last day. Diba? So, and it also uses a lot of old stock footage, which is what I really love. Like, we always talk about the demystification of the Undertaker, and this is where WWE actually doubles down on it. They say it from the very start. The opening credits say that after so many years, Mark Calloway, they didn't say Undertaker, they say Mark Calloway has allowed the camera crew to follow his career. And this first...
They say it.
It's a start. And when you watch it, it's so disarming. Kasi hindi na siya si Undertaker. You see him in the PT room getting taped up and getting injections for his hip. Diba? You see him after the concussion he got.
After the WrestleMania concussion,
You see him after the concussion he got. You see him work back from injury. You see all these things you never expected from The Undertaker. Plus, you get a lot of great footage from back in the day where he was talking to Jericho, where he talks to Kurt Angle, who was just starting out his WWE career then. This was in the late 90s, early 2000s.
It's stuff you never thought you'd be able to see.
Yeah, dude, sobrang, it was just mind-blowing to me as a fan. And I suggest if there's one docu out there right now, go check that out. At one.
No, the one docu you should be watching is The Last Dance. Like, seriously.
No, I mean, for the WWE.
No, if you have time for documentaries, watch them all.
Yeah, watch them all. Oh, yeah. I mean, Last Dance, pretty good. Last Ride, pretty special.
Yes.
All right. There you have it. Thank you very much for staying with us through another episode of the Wrestling Podcast. I don't know, man. I don't know how we're supposed to like power through and so drawn through ECQ season 4. For Chino and I, Survivor is about to end, so that takes a little less joy out of my life.
I am running out of shows to watch, so if you guys have recommendations, please send them my way.
Yeah,
sure. I'll take the recommendations
for all of us. Yeah.
For all of us.
To the whether listeners. It's a documentary or a movie or a series, an anime, basta hindi JoJo, sige, send nyo sa amin.
Yeah, sige. Basta hindi.
Watch JoJo.
I draw my line at anime. Anything that's not anime, send it my way.
De, ako, I draw specifically at JoJo. Like the moment.
Go watch My Hero Academia.
Or One Punch Man. You recommend any three of those titles to me, I will block you on Twitter.
Haikyuu, the volleyball one.
That's pretty great. Is that on Netflix?
Yes.
Okay. What about the Joshi anime with a lot of boobs?
Wait, Meron?
That's not on Netflix.
Yes, Meron. I'm
gonna go check that out then. If you know the title or whatever, send it my way at Wrestling2XPod for us. Individually at _Stancy, at Roviswar, at Caveman Camus, at Chino Supersized.
Can we also put over Babyface Producer Ryan's new podcast?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So
super, the shortest podcast we've ever heard.
Yeah. Called the Intrapersonal Podcast, also part of the PNA family. Yeah. Ano to, like 2-minute, 3-minute episodes.
Yeah, of just him expressing himself. Right.
Basically, broadcasting thoughts into the world. Oh, it's not part of PNA. All right, it's independently produced.
Ooh, Ryan, bring out.
Rebel.
Nagwash sa sarili niya, Podcast Network Philippines.
Hindi raw kasi kayang ibenta. Kayang ibenta yan kasi sobrang bilis nga niya. Sobrang bilis niya. Mas mahaba pa yung mga ads kesa doon sa podcast.
Mas mahaba pa yung AOB sa simula kasi doon sa episode.
And go check out Chino's new podcast. He's been cranking out new content. The Class Clown.
Yes, Class Clown. I'm doing twice a week episodes now. So for this Wednesday, I had, if I'm not mistaken, I had the chef, JJ Vail, talk about the culinary life. And on Friday...
If you're not mistaken, you made it.
Yeah, no, I can't remember what order these come out in. So...
Okay, go.
So for Wednesday, which is today, I have a new episode. And Friday, I also have a new episode coming out about poker. And then the week after that, 2 more episodes. Basta twice a week na siya. Kasi wala na akong gagawin eh. Naubos ko na yung Pornhub, naubos ko na yung Netflix. So magagawin ko, di ba? Yung podcast.
Yeah, guys. If you can't afford Masterclass, go listen to Chino's podcast.
Yes. Thank you.
Masterclass.
Also, like, Stance. Yeah, Stance podcast.
Yeah, the put over Stance podcast.
Yeah, the podcast is kind of so the podcast is on the shelf this week kasi my guest hasn't gotten back to me all week, so I was trying to make something happen. It's fine. We'll find a way to sojourn. After all, season 4 pa nga naman ng ECQ.
Oh, ano pa to? 4 na episode pa to.
We just debuted season 4.
Yeah. All right, we're out of here. We're going to put this episode in the books. Shout out to Babyface producer Ryan for being our real MVP. Shout out to our podcast network, Asia Family, for tirelessly putting out all this content. And on behalf of Ro, Camus, and Chino, this is Stan saying thank you. Please stay at home, stay healthy, stay well, and wash your goddamn hands.
Peace.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.